episode 22. Both of us are now stay-at-home podcasters.
Yeah, we've been talking about how our jobs have been holding us back from going full-time on this shit. Guess what? We got 2 weeks, 3 weeks in your case.
Yeah, my name is Dave Hunt. I'm one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Michael Swick.
You know, I've been joking with my friends at work that we should start leaving audio logs so future protagonists can find them and hear our stories, and I realized we already have an audio log. It's called the Digital Days Gaming Podcast. So this is day one of quarantine. I am Michael Swick.
This is your captain speaking. All right, so as he mentioned, we are Digital Days Gaming. We are a weekly podcast that releases on Thursday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. If you would like to get the podcast released early to you, you can sign up at patreon.com/digitaldaysgaming, where you can sign up. You can subscribe to the tier that gets you 24-hour early access, so you get it on Wednesday. We also broadcast live on Twitch, twitch.tv/digitaldaysgaming, every Sunday night or Monday night, just depending. And I have a feeling that we're going to be doing a lot more streaming over the next 14 days.
Yep.
So be sure to subscribe there. And, you know, if you're so feeling so inclined, you can leave us a subscription, whether it's through your Amazon and Twitch Prime together, or just you want to do a paid sub to us, you want to donate bits, whatever you choose to do to help support us, that would be great. Even sharing it is helpful as well. You can also just subscribe to the podcast and pretty much every podcast service that's available. If you are able to leave us a review, that is appreciated. And again, sharing the show is appreciated. You have a lot of friends now that are working from home and looking for things to do as the country is in the what I think is probably almost to the peak of the COVID-19 stuff. I think that it's probably still going to plateau, or it's still going to peak, and then it might kind of level off and then maybe start falling down. But
it will if people I'm hoping it starts to calm down if people actually follow the guidelines of staying the fuck at home.
Yeah, not based on some of the places that I've seen. Yeah. But that is neither here nor there. We do actually have some stuff to talk about this week. There has been some news out there, and I think that Michael and I will have a very interesting discussion based on some of our discussion we had earlier in the week. So we are going to jump right over into the news.
Our first story. This is something that we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago. Sony had to pull a very popular Mario creation from Dreams after Nintendo filed a copyright strike. So the creator Piece of Craft, he made a really popular Mario model, like a really good, amazing Mario model that was being used in a lot of other Dreams, and he on Twitter confirmed that like it was removed because Nintendo filed the copyright strike, and it sounds like Nintendo is starting to clamp down on some of the stuff going on in Dreams, which isn't too surprising. I was hoping it would take a little bit longer, but I think I know why it happened. As the Dreams community has been kind of going down a meme path where every week it just seems like the community just makes the worst shit possible out of one IP or another. And this, they just had a run of, it was just a bunch of Wario and Luigi shit where it was just like suicidal Wario killing himself in different ways. And I'm wondering if that was like ultimately what got Nintendo to be like, you know what, Dreams, this is fun, but we got to pull the plug on this. But yeah, I mean, you're not too surprised by this, right?
No, not at all. Like, I'm actually surprised that I actually made it this far. Pretty much since Dreams has kind of been available to the public for almost an entire year now, right?
Yeah, it's been a year.
So I think it, you know, maybe it got more and more attention that it was fully out. Maybe they were able to get around some of it by saying it was a beta. I don't know. But I mean, it's inevitable. It's probably just the tip of the iceberg of like certain assets are probably going to have to be removed or not going to, I don't know if we're, like, you don't think you can remove them, but you know, you're running a pretty high risk of doing anything that could be copyrighted. But I think at the same time, when you have this unlimited creational tool, like you're like, even in movies and other video games, like people are using a lot of things and just changing, like, oh, he's purple now, not red, so it's not Mario.
And it's just, it's going to be really difficult for them to police, just because, yeah, this really good Mario model was removed, which then broke a bunch of other stuff that was using this model. But there's nothing stopping people from just making another model.
This is just one of the ones that got a lot of more attention.
And Nintendo probably maybe had someone look into it of like, all right, if we pull this one model, how many levels are using this model and how many will that break? The Kotaku story does mention that, like, the very popular Super Mario 64 HD, that one is still active and playable. Though they had to put a new Mario model because it was using the Mario model that was removed. So it's going to be, I think it's, we're going to probably see a lot more of this, especially Nintendo. Nintendo's been super protective over their IPs forever. But maybe this will encourage, you know, Sega to start pulling some of the Sonic shit, DreamWorks to start pulling some of the Shrek shit.
Yeah, I think it's gonna get stuff. It's gonna get really, really kind of weird. Like, that's a lot of policing, a lot of paying attention, a lot of looking into what's there. And I think you're gonna hear more and more about this, but you're not gonna hear about it until it hits, I don't even know what the number is, 100,000 views or something. You know, till it shows up to where somebody important sees it or shares it, somebody shares it that somebody sees it that shouldn't see it, you know, or that wasn't looking for it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how exactly they can police this, or is this going to be a scare tactic? Because I still have that theory that this stuff will get less and less popular, you know, the IP stealing as the game's around and people take the chance to make their own creations a little bit more, or not borrow so much.
Yeah, for franchises. Sure. I think it's pretty easy for them to go, I'm going to make a platformer and I'm going to make it with Mario, versus then, you know, 6 months down the road when they're comfortable making platformers, like, okay, now I'm going to make my own character. So, yeah, I know that this works sense. And this works and this works, and so now I can spend my time focusing on my character. Yeah. So, because, I mean, I think the ultimate goal would be to hopefully eventually something comes from Dreams that ends up being a real game release, right?
That has always been the kind of dream of Dreams, is just people making their own game. And then there's always been like a vague promise of, like, you know, maybe some of these games will be broken away from Dreams and could be their own full-fledged thing on like the PlayStation Store. That, you know, will happen eventually, but not if it has a bunch of copyright infringement stuff. But even then, that seems like a pipe dream, just because so many of the popular levels are being made by so many different creators that are, you know, contributing in some way or the other.
Right.
But let's get into the meat of this podcast, I think. So Sony finally did a presentation for the PlayStation 5.
Me to sleep.
I mean, this is such a weird way how they presented it. So on, was it Wednesday? Last Wednesday.
Dude, this last week feels like it's been a month.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to even put together like the timeline. But Mark Cerny stood in front of a screen and four people. And
do you think those are real people?
They had to be. Like, that would just be super weird. But Mark Cerny put on a PowerPoint presentation that was streamed live on YouTube, breaking down the hardware for the PS5. And it was a weird presentation. The one thing I took away from it is this was clearly meant for developers and not really the public. But
that's Sony, my first problem with it.
But Sony would have done this at GDC behind closed doors, but GDC was canceled, so they just said, fuck it, let's just throw it out online. Like, I don't, this wasn't live. This was probably recorded a month ago.
Right.
When GDC was still happening. And they just decided, we have no choice but to put this online, because GDC is like it's an industry thing where you can buy access to the streams if you're in the industry. So presentations like this format that would have been at GDC, that would have went out to developers even if they weren't at GDC, is important. So they just kind of just put it online and said, let's just put it out there, for better or worse. For Dave, probably for worse in terms of how that how it came across in presentation. And then me at first, it definitely was one of those ones I had to watch it twice just to get a little bit.
Dude, you went through that twice?
Yeah, the first time I was at work, okay. And at the same time the presentation was happening, my manager was behind me watching the Trump coronavirus presentation or conference. So those were going on at the same time. So it was really hard to focus on a PS5 presentation. Okay. So I had ended up watching it twice. And then I watched a Digital Foundry video after that was really good at explaining like what exactly the potential is. But let's just break down. I'm just going to break down some quick numbers. So the numbers that people are sticking to. Let's just go with the big one that everyone is freaking out about. The Xbox Series X is 12.0 teraflops for the GPU, and PS5 is 10.3 teraflops for the GPU. That is the big one everyone's sticking to. And then also the CPU is at 3.5 gigahertz with a ranging frequency, and then the Xbox Series X is 3.8 gigahertz. So very little difference, but they're both companies are doing a lot of different things, with Xbox leaning more towards power. A huge chunk of the presentation was how the SSD with the PlayStation 5 is going to be very important. It is basically, it sounds like the system is being built around the power of an SSD hard drive.
That's like the only thing that I found interesting in this presentation. It was when he was talking about how the hard drive worked in PS4 and in previous generations in terms of like playing games and walking through like two hallways before you get into another room, because the game is actually that's a very well disguised loading screen. And then also talking about even when you're like in a first person game, when you turn around. And like they were kind of showing like the view perspective of how much stuff the game has to load as you're turning.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff was interesting to me at that point in time. That was like the only thing that I thought was interesting from that presentation, and why the SSD was so important and why their SSD is so unique and cannot be changed.
Yeah, the way it sounds is the SSD isn't just a component. It's just not a piece of the system. It is very much integrated into everything that they're doing, and will, because of how fast it can like read and write data, it is going to be very integral to everything happening with the system, because they're going to be able to leverage that speed and do some cool things with it. Just with how fast they're able to just like pick up and transfer data and present it to people. Though it's weird though, the PS5, their SSD is a custom SSD, which is going to be 825 gigs. That's a number that apparently is a number they felt would be perfect for the amount of games that the average user owns, which if you're listening to this podcast, you're not an average user. You are most likely in the extreme user category, or whatever would be beyond average user. Because most users, I mean, we're talking about 100 million people, are probably just buying Call of Duty or Madden or FIFA, and then that is the game they have on their system. So 825 gigs for them is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But people that are like listening to this podcast, or me or Dave, we are going to have a bunch of different games that we go to regularly or have at one given time. So the 825 gig SSD is an odd number that we will probably want to expand on in the future.
Yeah, but I think that also is going to depend on how well this drive runs and how well these systems connect to the internet. Because if it's only going to take me like 20 minutes to download a game, that's a different conversation than multiple hours that it takes me to download games now.
Yeah, and another thing that we could see because of having an SSD at the beginning, or you know, as the base hardware, is currently with mechanical drives, because they are so slow, a lot of the times data would need to be repeated throughout, like, the day, you know, like the game space or whatever, or like how the game is rendered. But because the SSD is so fast, they don't have to repeat data as often. They can just pull like the original, like,
which he hinted at, meaning smaller downloads.
Yes, which could, if optimized correctly, would be smaller downloads because they wouldn't have to repeat data. And also that would mean the developers, if they don't want to like save on download space, they could no longer have to have that repeating data like hinder their creativity. One example I like that he used is like, he said there's 400 like newsstands in Spider-Man PS4 and they're all the same. And that is just because, you know, there's limited space and they had to repeat the same thing. So it's just easier to repeat the same thing multiple times. And that hinders creativity. That barrier is now gone. So, you know, they can either just make one mailbox and then just have, or one newsstand as a data file and not have it repeat 400 times, or they can, you know, get more creative and use whatever space they wanted.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. I think people are freaking out too much about the teraflop thing.
Yeah, everything I've been hearing, like the, I mean, I haven't watched the Digital Foundry thing that you're talking about. I just haven't had a chance yet. And then even some of the other, since there's been some specs released, like some of these developers are actually talking about the two systems a little bit more now than they have been, because they're allowed to, because both, at least the specs are out there. And the, it sounds like the developers are saying that what PS5 is trying to do is going to be somewhat revolutionary for how they develop a game.
Yes, it sounds like there is a lot more stuff. It's weird with how the presentation was, where they would like, he referenced like Jax 2 or 3. You talked about it a little bit, of just like how the maps are designed, like very labyrinth-like in terms of...
Yeah, corridors and...
Yeah, to hide loading screens, and he's like, it doesn't have to be like that anymore. Like, we can do more impressive things and no longer have to build around loading and all sorts of different things that we don't even think about that are done on purpose because of how slow mechanical drives are. They don't have to do that anymore. They can take the power of the SSD and really optimize that and fine-tune that and try different things. So it sounds like developers are happy with both systems, but there's a lot more buzz on what the PlayStation can do. But Xbox's approach is just, they're just giving developers like raw horsepower. They're just like, here is pure power and just go with it. And their SSD isn't slow either. It's just not as fast as the PS5. It's just, Dave, what was the analogy you had for this?
Yeah, so the analogy that I saw over social media over the last couple of days is that the Xbox is like a car that's running a V8 engine. And the PS5 is a V6 supercharged.
Yeah, they're doing so many things. Like they're doing like a weird, not quite overclocking thing with frequencies for their CPU, which could cause like some heating issues. But they're also doing like some new technology for cooldowns and like their fan system.
Or their box is like the size of a mini fridge.
Or their box is the size of a mini fridge. So they're definitely doing some different things with the PlayStation 5. It definitely does seem like a more cost-effective way or a cost-efficient way to produce a console.
And he talked about that. Like during his presentation, he said something about they need to keep consumer cost in mind when they're developing their console.
Yeah. Which is going to be important. If Sony can undercut the price of the Xbox, they will probably not necessarily, they will get to a head start, you know, in terms of one-on-one. Will they win it? Who knows? But they definitely are going for like the lowest cost they can. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to suffer in terms of power. They're going to be right. Creative. They have some of the best developers to do this. And then Xbox is just going to have raw power. And they're also doing some things which is a little weird. So the Xbox is going to have a 1 terabyte drive. It's NVMe SSD. But they're also partnering with, I think, Seagate for expandable memory, which sounds like they're like almost like little tiny memory cards that you pop into the back of the Xbox to expand your memory. No cost or no idea how much that's going to cost, but they're definitely going with a proprietary route, which at least sounds like they will have something day one when the consoles come out for you to expand your Xbox's storage, which is fantastic. Sony, on the other hand, they will have an expandable slot for an NVMe drive, but the specs that you need for the NVMe drive are really high to the point that they don't exist on the market currently.
Yeah, and so, just to be clear, like, so we're used to, most gamers are used to, even on an Xbox or an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, of a 2.5-inch laptop drive, hard drive. And these, I started seeing these like a couple months ago when I was looking at my PC, and my PC has hard drives in it as well. Not necessarily 2.5-inch, but maybe 3.5 or bigger, just depending, because they're, you don't have to worry about the compactness when you're messing with a PC as much as you do a laptop or a console. But these are like microchip hard drives in terms of like,
they're like RAM.
Yeah.
Like they look like RAM.
They look like a RAM stick. And these are like, these types of hard drives are used on gaming PCs and on PCs in general. They actually attach to your motherboard directly, like plug directly into your motherboard, like you mentioned, like RAM does, versus plugging it in through like a hard drive cable or into a caddy. So these, and it sounds like Sony is saying that there will be, that they are supporting approved third-party drives
that just kind of don't exist on the market right now.
Correct. And it's partially because their partnership with AMD is dictating in terms of they're trying to still, it sounds like they're trying to still see if this is even going to work.
No, it's going to work. It's just, it's going to be a matter of the speed that it needs to be able to like read and write is going to be important because of how their built-in SSD, their custom SSD is. They will exist. It's just a matter of how much they will cost and when they will be available. Because the technology is moving in that direction. It's one of those things where, depending on how the proprietary hard drives go on the, or SSDs go for the Xbox One, they'll be available day one, but there's no performance, you know, it's just a standard like SSD or whatever flash memory. And the Sony one is kind of almost like future-proofing themselves in the way. So they'll have hard drives that will be able to keep up with the machine without any hindrance.
Well, it's interesting because I think if they sell enough consoles, like if PS5 is successful enough, any hard drive manufacturer would be foolish to not figure out a way to make it work, just to have it say in their, you know, on their box, like compatible with PS5 or something like that, regardless of what the drive is and who makes the drive. And then again, you know, if, you know, is Microsoft going to allow some, any form of third party drive to work, or is it going to have to be this Xbox approved one? If it's going to have to be an Xbox approved one, I think that's a huge mistake. Because it's like Vita memory cards, not necessarily to that extent, but it's similar to Vita memory cards all over again. That was one of the problems that Vita had, is that only certain memories worked with it. So if you're limiting your consumer's choice on what they can or can't do, like, that is a hindrance.
Oh, for sure. That would be a hindrance. And then Sony has the issue of just like, will these be affordable?
Right.
the ones that are approved, which they might not be for a couple years. So hopefully developers can work with that 825 gig hard drive.
Yeah, but again, like that might be enough if Call of Duty, like you were going to say, maybe on PS5 compressed correctly and not having to have repeatable data on it, maybe it's only a 130 gig game instead of a 200 gig game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, because I think right now I'm looking at like 100 and something gigs for just Call of Duty, or probably 150 gigs.
Yeah, my buddy got Call of Duty, and he's downloading it, and he's like, dude, this is like taking forever. And I was like, okay, is your system wired or wireless? And he's like, wireless. And I was like, okay, you got to put that thing in rest mode and go to bed. And he goes, what? And I go, I put it in rest mode to go to bed. And then he goes, okay. I go, and by the way, get better internet. You know, but even then it's like, you can't, he's like, it's only going to let me play this dumb training thing. And I'm like, yeah, you just need to walk away from that thing.
Yep. What I do sometimes, you know, I have good internet.
Yeah.
Bringing up, the SSD should allow the current issue of downloading and copying. That should go away with an SSD, which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
So another thing that we'll probably talk about just a little bit is the backwards compatibility problem.
That they've had I feel like they've had to readdress this 3 times in a week.
They have. It is better understood now than it was when Mark Cerny said it. Okay. I think the reason Mark Cerny only talked about backwards compatibility for a couple minutes and didn't really explain it too well is because this was developer focused, and the developers who are trying to make new games on PS5 don't give a fuck about backwards compatibility.
I disagree.
No. In terms of like this presentation, okay. For like, if you're pitching this to developers, please develop games for us. The backwards compatibility section isn't that important to them. In terms of like, I want to make a new game for PS5. For the consumers, it's very important. But for like a developer, like thinking like, should I develop for the PS5? Backwards compatibility doesn't really matter. And I think that's why they just kind of brushed it past. But he made a clusterfuck that Sony's had to like walk back a couple times. Right now, as far as I understand it, the PS5 is fully or mostly compatible with PS4 games. The issue is the PS5 moves really fast, that not every game is guaranteed to work. Cerny stated, I believe in the press conference, that they know the top 100 games do in fact work.
Some.
Yeah, most of them, because they're testing them, but there's over 4,000 games, so they can't...
No, he said some of the top 100 will work at launch.
Yeah, which they then clarified that, like, the top 100 will work, and the rest of the game should work, but there could be issues. They're really trying to save themselves with, like, legalese in terms of, like... We can't outright say every 4,000 game is going to work, because then someone's going to be like, hey, this limited run game that I got is not working. But it sounds like it is backwards compatible. It's just not guaranteed will work or have enhanced features features that you would expect when you put an old game into a new console, in terms of like up resolution and better frame rate. They can't guarantee that for every game that's been release for the PS5,
which I think makes them look stupid right now.
It's funny though, because it's not that different from what Xbox is doing, except Xbox.
Whoa, hold up! Xbox has come out and said every single game that works on Xbox One will work on Series X and run better. Every game.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is they're using better technology in terms of that. But they at least had a easy blanket statement that they could put on that, and PlayStation did not have the messaging outright. They finally have it now, but it's just been updating the blog post that no one's even looking at anymore, to where they really needed to nail what they were trying to say, and they completely failed at that. Microsoft definitely has a backwards compatibility game going. I still think we will hear about PS1, PS2, PS3 backwards compatibility when we finally get the consumer-friendly press conference. But as of right now, Sony just looks like they shouldn't even have fucking mentioned backwards compatibility, because this is for developers. But they did, and they fucking now have to deal with the next, like, what, 2 months before they do another press conference, probably, where they, like, outright say what's going to be the case.
Yeah, it's bad. So, like, the my biggest problem with this, other than the presentation was really boring, which I get that it's a game developer conference presentation. That's what it was supposed to be for. My first problem with that is that you put it on your YouTube channel. You advertised it as a reveal, which, you know, like, fine, it was. But you knew what you were doing. You knew which audiences you were appealing to. You knew what was in this presentation. You did this to yourself. My second problem is that it has been almost an entire year since Sony themselves have said the word PS5, other mm-hmm. than the Wired article that Cerny did as well. So, and in that year, your competitor, your number one competitor in the console market, has come out and said, our system does this, our system does that, our system looks like this, this is how this is going to work, this is how this is going to work. They laid out bullet points for Sony to counter each time, and Sony has countered them before, back in the PS4 reveal days, of where they countered them blow for blow for blow, and they hit them in the jaw every single time. And this time they are just like swinging and missing. Like, I don't understand.
I know, it was one of those things though where, like, I can see why Sony's failing in terms of, like, their messaging. It's because last gen, they were able to just bat down everything that Microsoft was throwing at them. And Cerny had to go out there and be like, 10.3 teraflops. Teraflops aren't that important. And then he had to, like, explain to everyone, like, hey, they like, without saying, like, Xbox has a bigger number, but here's why that number doesn't matter. And it's just, I feel like Sony, they were the first one to, like, kind of, actually, they weren't even the first ones to strike. They just didn't have enough shit ready to talk about, which is scary. Mm-hmm. And they kind of backed themselves in a corner where they knew their numbers were lower, and they still waited way too long, and then they still didn't have the messaging outright.
Yeah, but most of the people, like I said, most of the people that have said, now that the numbers have been released and that people are diagnosing stuff and kind of like building quote unquote like mock units and comparing the two of them and running them through stress tests and stuff like that, they're saying that the PS5 in the long run will probably be better for game development. Like, they're saying it. So, like, in terms of like the thing that people are freaking out about, it, like, the way that it's built is it's going to be a more efficient system for developers to make better games, like, to make the game run better. So all the stuff that I've been seeing the last couple of days on paper is saying all of that stuff, and I think that it wasn't presented in that way. And then I've also realized that part of my personal problem with the way that this is going, and I've said this the last couple of weeks, is that the time of when these consoles are supposed to come out is rapidly shrinking. And in mm-hmm. comparison to what we had during the next gen, the previous gen reveals, we knew 4, 5, 6 games that were coming to PS4 at this time. We know one game that's coming to PS5 at this time.
It sucks because I think something that I don't know enough people are talking about, a lot of people left Sony, and I think we are seeing that effect now with the horrible messaging and then the lack of talking about the system. In terms of, like, you have Andrew House is gone. Andrew House was always really good at doing presentations. Layden is gone. He was good at doing presentations, very personable. You have a lot of, like, third-party guys. You have Geo Corsi gone.
Adam Boys.
You have all these people that were really fucking good at messaging gone.
Even Shu has changed roles.
Yeah. And it seems like his has shrunk down, or he is too busy doing the, like, outreach to indie developers that he can't be a face right now.
Yeah, and that's why I think that, you know, you had said, and I mean, I let you go. You had said that, like, backwards compatibility to a developer maybe is not that important. It is if you're comfortable and you know how the PS4 architecture works and you want to develop a game based on that, that will then just work better on PS5. But now they're being told that, like, it might not work.
Yeah, and
that's bad.
Yeah, it comes down to, I think it's messaging, and now we're at a point where most studios right now are disrupted because of the current state the world's in right now. We know production lines are going to be disrupted, though it sounds like China's getting a little bit back to normal now. But we're at this point where I almost don't want the consoles to launch this holiday, because I don't want anything to be rushed. And it already doesn't sound like it's going to be a fun next-gen, like, launch.
Well, it sounds like we're going to have these really cool boxes, and we're going to play games that came... We're going to play Cyberpunk. We're going to play Ghost of Tsushima. We're going to play Last of Us 2. We're going to play Halo Reach. Or, I'm sorry, Halo 6. We're going to be playing Destiny. We're going to be playing Overwatch 2. Like, these games that are also going to be on the current-gen consoles.
Which makes me feel like that we should wait another year just so we don't have this.
I said it on Twitter this week, like right now, today, and my mind has not changed since I said it. So like right now at the time of recording this show, if you're telling me that I need to spend $600 on one of these consoles this holiday, $500, $600, my choice that between these right now, what to take $500 and put it on is going to be into my gaming PC.
And that is a fair... like response to how things are going.
I hope it my mind changes, because I do like consoles, and I've been playing on consoles for a long time. But you know, again, I have to do it. I mean, it's kind of like the way that my mindset is of comparing. You know, they're trying to like, you know, if you really internally ask Sony of what their goal is when they launch their next gen console, is to sell as much or more than they did of the PS4 in the same time frame of Windows. So the first quarter of the console release, their goal would be to sell the same amount or more. And right now, the time frames are off. Like, we don't know. I don't care about how much the system is or isn't going to cost currently. I don't care what it looks like, if it's going to be like a box, a rectangle, a circle, a sphere, whatever the hell it's going to be. I don't care. What I care about is why do I want to buy this system? And the only thing that I took from Mark Cerny's presentation for the PS5 reveal of why I want to buy this system is because my games will run faster. That's it.
Yeah. It's...
And not
know.
All my games might... Not all my current library might work, and I think that you had mentioned this. So that means that I might not be able to put my PS4 in a box.
Yeah, I was super bummed out with that, and I'm hoping when they do their consumer... facing show, though, to your point earlier, it was on YouTube freely, so it is consumer facing whether they wanted it or not. It just sucks they were just kind of put in that situation where GDC's canceled because of COVID-19, and they were just like, fuck, okay, let's just release this. I'm hoping at their consumer friendly show they put out a face, though it better not be Ryan, because I do not really like him as a presenter. They need to put some messaging out. They need to be clear, they need to be precise, and they need to, you know, assure me that, like, hey, the backwards compatibility stuff works, this is how your downloaded or your PSN games are going to work. They need to nail all of that messaging in their next press conference, and they need to show games.
Yeah, like, they need to show two PS5 only games.
Yeah.
And trailers.
One thing that kind of bothered me with how Sony presented this is they showed screenshots of fucking Dead Space, you know, like, you know, for the PS3 when during the presentation stuff, and you know, they showed map designs from Jack 2 or 3, just because, you know, they were trying to make examples of stuff that, you know, like, could be better, and it was just like confusing, because it's like, why are you showing me a screenshot of Dead Space 3? Do you not have a tech demo render screenshot of a tech demo that you could put in the place of just having like Dead Space on there?
I mean, I know he's not really like tied to Sony anymore, but like, let David Cage put somebody's face up there again.
Yeah, exactly, because that stuff was cool and interesting, you know.
Like,
give us the rubber duck presentation that they did. I think Phil Harrison is the one that did the rubber duck thing, where they just had a tech demo with like 1,000 rubber ducks like being dropped into a map.
Or as many times as Cerny mentioned Spider-Man during that presentation, show Spider-Man on PS4, split the screen in half and show it on PS5, and let them see it. Like, put the freaking load, like, the loading screens, like, side by side, like, show that. Show,
which we know that exists because they were presenting that to the Wired people.
Yeah, so I just don't understand, like, show and, you know, build the hype. As many times as he mentioned the word Spider-Man and how the assets are already built in, like, show Spider-Man 2. Like, if
we
know
it exists, we know that's going to be their next game. Like, just show us the model for Spider-Man 2 versus the PS4 Spider-Man 1. Just put those models up.
Or show me how MLB 20 is going to look better on PS5, because MLB 21 ain't coming until April.
And it'll be on everything. So.
Yeah. So it's like these games of like that are already out, like show me, the same presentation you did of Ghost of Tsushima running on a PS5.
Show me one of the 100 backwards compatibility games that you have tested. Like, show me that. Like, even if it's really small. Xbox, if you go to Xbox Wire, when they did their, like, hardware breakdown, they have really good just GIF images of Xbox One version of Gears versus Xbox Series X version of Gears. Mm-hmm. And it's just a screenshot. But that is so much more powerful for some of the stuff Cerny was showing.
And I promise you, they're going to do the same thing with Halo 6.
Oh, Infinite?
Yeah, Halo Infinite, sorry.
Yeah, they definitely are going to do some of that stuff. We could probably rant all day about this. I don't think we're going to be satisfied until we get the consumer facing show, with quotes, heavy quotes on consumer facing.
And I still don't think you're going to see PS1, PS2 or PS3 working on this box. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. The only reason I have some faith is because like the homebrew scene has gotten like PS2 and PS1 games running on PS4. So I'm like, they should be able to pull this off, but
if they can't make all their PS4 games work, they can't make the other ones work.
Well, no, again, it's not that they all can't work, it's just some of them might be broken. So it's like, in theory, they could possibly get it, but it would be like, hey, some of these will be broken and there's no actual way for us to test all of the games that were ever released. But they can hopefully figure something out. But chances are what they'll figure out is PS1 Classic, PS2 Classics, PS3 Classics as downloads, not you're using your original disc, because they'd rather resell you a copy than doing anything. Do you have anything else for this? Because I'm kind of like,
I'm not happy. I mean, I've been 6 months, 7 months away from these consoles that are going to cost $500, $600. Like, we're in the show me time. And coronavirus, COVID-19 aside, like, we're in the you need to show me something. Like, especially, like, it's going to get bad. Either show me something or say, hey, you know what? We're pumping the brakes for 4 months.
Yeah. When do you think we would, what's the latest you think they could say consoles aren't coming out this holiday? Like, June?
Yeah. July 1st.
Yeah. Because I can't drop
$600 tomorrow. Like, I had to prepare for it.
I think if you would look on the back of your launch PS4 on the manufacturer date, I bet the manufacturer date on your launch PS4 would be one of the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
Which would show you that they would need to make that decision by sometime this summer of like, hey, this is not going to make it to the holidays in terms of like how much the COVID corona stuff has affected production. But also now, production be damned, now it's just about like messaging and will there be content? So I wouldn't hate if things got delayed till March or next holiday at this point, because I'm kind of happy with my PC and my PS4 Pro.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to get worried about like, okay, like Naughty Dog's working on Last of Us. Like, sure, they're working on something else, but you know, Sucker Punch is working on Ghost of Tsushima. Either they're working on some type of expansion, their second team's working on some type of expansion for that, or they're briefly working on their next project, which is another three and a half years away.
Yeah.
There's more than likely another God of War in development to continue that new trilogy or that new kickoff that he did at the end of God of War, but I don't think that'll be ready in the launch window.
That's the thing, is the only studios they have like on deck that are their big studios would be Ready at Dawn, you know, Days Gone developers, Santa Monica God of War developers, and Insomniac or Spider-Man the Insomniac developers.
I don't think Sony Bend is ready. I mean, they might.
Sony Bend, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ready at Dawn, the people that made The Order, I don't think they're a Sony exclusive studio, but they have been making things for.
If you look at all of the studios, I don't see them having something at launch. And you read Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. if I'm not mistaken, when they were talking about Uncharted 4, Naughty Dog was a two-team studio at that point, and then wasn't it during Uncharted 4 they realized that they aren't a two-team studio? Like, it just doesn't work for them in terms of, like, their crunch and their demands. So, like, even then, like, even if they have a skeleton
PC, there's, like, 12 people working on the next project.
They, which won't have anything for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
And
I mean, maybe Sony Japan. Sony Japan might have one or two things coming out, but I mean, what are we looking at? Another like Knack 3 at this point in time? Like, come on.
Huh, I hope so. though there are other rumors that they're trying to work with Konami, which I don't believe.
Yeah, it's just like at this point where like it's I'm at the you got to show me, and everything that I've been seeing now is just like I. It pains me to say it. I mean, it has nothing to do with the transition, anything that we made. But like, Xbox is just Phil Spencer is a better public figure right now than anything that Sony has.
Yeah, because I love Mark Cerny. I've called him the Bob Ross of PlayStation. He's very relaxing, but he's not that guy who's going to get you hype like a Phil Spencer is in terms of presentation. And I really liked how Sean Layden was. I liked how Andrew House, I think, was like a in between of like a Sean Layden and a Mark Cerny in terms of how he presented things and everything, all the stuff that I've seen like Ryan do. I don't want to see Ryan on a stage. They need a new face.
I was going to say the same thing. They need somebody, and I mean, I don't even want to do that, like, in their, you know, from 33 to 48 years old, that's, you know, high energy, that you can play, you know, sit there and be a salesperson, you know, for them and be energetic and excited and not sound like he's just going through the motions. Like, Jim Ryan's a CEO. He's the guy that sits behind a desk and makes decisions and probably has a fantastic mind for business management, but, you know, relies on the guy that sits in the other office to make his stuff sound cool.
Yeah, and we've seen him present, and it's been like, it's been okay. But I've never been excited after a Jim Ryan presentation. They need to find someone to present, especially because their next reveal is going to be their most important one. It sounds stupid, but it's going to be their make or break. You know, like, well,
and
time.
And it seems like, if I had to guess, they're going to throw up behind a state of play. I don't even know who that that woman's voice is. That's,
I'm pretty sure she introduces herself, but I have no idea either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we could talk about this for days, and we probably will be talking about this for the next.
That's going to be the only thing going on.
Yeah, that's for sure. The last thing I put in the news story is fuck GameStop, but that's kind of all I wanted to say.
Pennsylvania took their license.
They had to. So GameStop is one of the companies that have been just like fucking up like the way to handle the current world situation that we find ourselves in.
I get where they were coming from, but they dropped the ball like 100% in the way that they were trying to say it. Like, people are at home. We talked about it last week. Steam numbers are through the roof, which I'm guessing means, you know, active PlayStation users, active Xbox users is probably through the roof as well, because there's nothing else to do. You know, which means that you want to pick up games, and a lot of people still buy physical media. That's fine, and they want the game, and they want it now. Like, I you know, they want to go down the street and get it. Like, I understand that, but you dropped the ball in terms of your presentation of, or your perception of telling your associates, stay open, we're essential. Like,
yeah,
that's bad. No
protection, like, no cleaning supplies, nothing. Yeah.
We would like you to attempt as hard as you can to keep your doors open, but maybe go through different things of maybe you take the stuff to the customer, like in their car. Or I think now they're actually doing physical delivery.
They're doing delivery, and they are finally doing curbside, but they were going to just drive this into the ground until Pennsylvania like took their license away. And then that's when they're just like, okay, we tried. And there was even reports that some like district managers were like, you stay open in Pennsylvania until like the cops show up. If you want to see how bad, or want to hear how bad GameStop was giving out directions, there's YouTuber Camelot331. He actually leaked the conference call that corporate GameStop had with the managers, and it's just kind of heartbreaking hearing, like, worried and scared store managers dealing with corporate people that are clearly working from home and are just advising them in horrible ways and just lying to them. So look that up if you want to see how a company shouldn't handle a pandemic. Because not every company's been handling it good. Best Buy's been handling it like shit. Cough, cough. I meant the cough, cough Best Buy. Whatever. Best Buy has not been handling it very well. They've corrected their course because of pressure from Vice, of all places, pressured them into course correcting. And we're just seeing other companies, Hobby Lobby's super fucked up right now with how they're handling it. And we're kind of seeing a lot of corporations' true colors, though. They're corporations, so we should expect corporations to go on the side of money.
I mean, the problem is that there's not a playbook for this.
No, but there's other events that these companies should be looking at in terms of, like, hey, we had stores that were in a state that dealt with a natural disaster. How did we handle that? Can we apply some of that to some of this? And they're just handling it really bad. But that's a whole other discussion. But GameStop probably won the worst way to handle this in terms of for stores. Because they didn't even get the, they didn't even course correct. They just were like, okay, I guess we're fucking closing up shop. Yeah, so fuck GameStop. Back to you.
Yeah. All right. So that is what we have for the news for this week. So what we're playing and watching. Watching for me, I watched X-Men Dark Phoenix with my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
You're gonna say it's not bad. Okay, good. I was gonna say, because there's it. If you would have been like, it wasn't that bad, then I would have ended this.
I mean, I don't hate the X-Men movies. My problem is that their order for me, like the amount of time it's taking for them to come out and kind of how they flow, like I've lost connection of where they are. Like I would almost have to like see
they
a chronological. Yeah, you know, with the time travel stuff, and my wife, even when we were watching it, she's like, "Where's Wolverine?" I'm like, "I think he's like in a different time warp, in a different timeline right now, and then he comes back, like at a certain point in time." So,
see,
and
this takes place in the 90s, so he wouldn't be part of the team, even though in the movie that took place in the 70s,
yeah.
Mystique kidnapped. Fuck, God damn it.
Yeah, okay, I mean, Jean Grey's story is like just is super interesting to me in terms of like how it's certain things ended, and like her, a movie focused solely on her, mostly on her, is it was good. And I think that I don't think that I fell asleep because I was bored. I think I fell asleep because I became slightly uninterested in a certain area, and I've had a really rough week, so I would maybe like to watch it again, but there was nothing, like the pacing was off at the very beginning. So that, you know, that caused some problems. I watched, my wife hadn't seen Hobbs and Shaw, so we watched that again. I watched that on a flight to San Francisco, so I was, you know, pretty good with that. We tried watching the live action Lion King. I think I fell asleep during that as well. I think that certain ones they've done really well. I've seen the live action Aladdin, and I really like that. I just feel like that's a little easier to portray, because it's like people and versus like animals. It was more or less I kept asking myself, like, is this computerly generated? Like, this looks real. Like, how did they get the lions to do this? Like, it's just like, am I really watching something that's live action versus like Aladdin, which you could obviously tell, like, Genie was, you know, with Will Smith was, you know, some computer generation stuff, but like Aladdin, Jasmine, they were all people. So like the, in Beauty and the Beast, I felt worked as well, because even the Beast was a person in a costume. So,
yeah.
So those seem to work. Other than that, like, yeah, just watching a lot of stuff. Like, we were kind of trying to catch up on some shows or just getting into series. So there's, I mean, nothing in particular. We're caught up on like our NCIS's and our SWATs, and, you know, we seem to watch a lot of CBS lately. So like All Rise, which is a judicial, like a judge show. It's just kind of where we are in our lives. Like, I'm entertained by it. There's some, you know, pretty interesting guest appearances in All Rise. It's a, you know, I'm having a good time watching that. It's just one of those things where it's like 35, 40 minute increments. I'm sure that, you know, I would love to hear, you know, show recommendations or movie recommendations. I'm not super into scary stuff or over the top, like gory things. Like my wife, if somebody's like, oh, you guys should just watch Game of Thrones. Like we're not going to do that. We're not going to watch Breaking Bad. We're not going to watch Walking Dead. Like it's just not the wavelength that my wife likes to watch shows on. We actually want to watch things. I think she does.
True Detective's good.
Yeah. For the most part, it's probably things that, you know, really want to keep her anxiety down.
Yet you've mentioned like CSI and CIS. It's all murder shows, but they're on regular TV. So
yeah, but there's comedy to them, though. There's funny moments and things like that happen in those shows.
SVU is hilarious.
We don't watch that. My daughter does. My daughter's in her own little dark world watching SVU and Criminal. She started watching Criminal Minds. She's in her room on her Chromebook just watching stuff. Meanwhile, my son is literally just, my oldest son is home and he's literally just playing MLB The Show 20 the whole time. For playing, I tweeted out about it. Like, I've had a hard time having the mental focus to get into another game. So like it's just like I sit down and I just play Destiny. It just seems to be there's a couple new things to work on. You know, there's that little carrot that, you know, that intrigues me with some of the new seasonal content that they've added. And it's just easy. It just requires minimal thought from me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, you can, not to insult Destiny, but you can kind of shut your brain off, especially you're a manager of a store, so I'm sure you wake up and check your phone every morning like, am I open?
Yeah. The governor took care of the rest of that for Michigan.
So. Yeah. But like Destiny, you could just kind of get into a zone and then just like, all right, you can set yourself a goal every session.
Yeah. And then I need to finish Division 2 so I can probably review that next week, or in 2 weeks when I play some of the seasonal content. So I want to finish that up. I've seen a couple people's reviews hitting for Division 2. Like, I've just seen the titles. I haven't read them yet, but I was like, yeah, I guess I probably need to kind of look at that a little bit and give my impressions of that as we're getting to the seasonal content. I have, obviously, like I said, my son bought MLB The Show digitally so I could play that. But I just, like, I sit down and I'm like, I don't really want to think that hard. Like, everybody's like, oh, like, you, this is, these next 3 weeks might be a great opportunity for me to knock some things off my backlog. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, the stuff that's going on around me outside is terrifying. We're in the fifth largest state for active virus cases.
Yeah.
So it's like this stuff is real, and I almost have to like put away Facebook lately. It's just been rough. But just trying to, you know, find anything that's going to relax. And I'm sleeping like crap the last 6 or 7 nights. It's just like terrible. And I don't know if that had to do with like work or the unknown of with my pay, or am I going to contract this virus and am I going to bring it home? Just tons and tons of stuff that, you know, like that's going on in my head that normally doesn't affect me. But I realized, like, I sat back and thought about it too, not to, like, I'm not trying to be like a downer or anything like that, but this is the first time in my 36 years of in my life that I have been told either A, not to go to school, or not to go to work.
Yeah,
like, that's a little messed up. like my boss calls me today and says, hey, you know what, you don't need to come to work until April 14th.
And then you're just like, are you sure?
Yeah, I was like, wait, because we closed, you know, full disclosure. I mean, some of you guys know who I work for, some of you don't. We closed to the public, but I still went to work for a couple of days and filling orders that we were shipping out through FedEx or UPS to customers, sending them to wherever we were sending them, either whether it was somebody that placed an order online that lives, you know, an hour away from our store, that lives down the street from our store, or lives in like Nebraska. Like, I don't know. We just, the label prints out, we pull the product, we slap it on the box, tape it up, make sure it doesn't break, and send it on its way. You know, so we were doing some of those things, and then the governor's like, nope. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought that, you know, me personally, I thought maybe the governor would like put the stay at home in for like the Detroit metropolitan area, since like those three counties are causing, or not causing, but those three counties seem to be the epicenter for the COVID-19 right now. Mm-hmm. But you know, she shut down the whole state.
Yeah, like, I'm in a similar situation where there's a state lockdown, there's a city lockdown, which sounds like there's, like, fines if they catch you without a note saying, like, I need to be out, or you're getting
essential
items. Yeah. So it's been confusing. Me and Sarah are introverts, so we're pretty kind of, not to say we're happy about staying home, but it's like less of a drag on us just because we're like introverts. Though the cats, I think we fucked up their cycle because like they are just constantly like, if you guys don't leave and come back, when do we know when we can eat type of shit? So we've messed up their cycle. But like my mom, my dad, my sisters, they all live together. And, you know, my mom isn't the most connected person. So getting a text message from her 2 days ago being like, your dad says I can't throw out the garbage because of the lockdown. And me being like, you can throw out the garbage. It is fine. You can go into the alley and throw the garbage away. You know, so like most of my worrying, like me and Sarah are going to be fine, but most of my worrying is like, okay, are my parents going to be fine? Can I give them enough information that they know what to do with it? Especially my dad works in a grocery store. So he, his store, you know, it's an essential store. So it's not going anywhere. So he's working crazy hours.
He's also out there on the front line. So
yeah, he's a boomer. So that adds another layer of like worried I need to be. And it's just one of those things where I'm constantly thinking about that. So me personally, I know I'm fine, but like anytime I'm texting my parents way more than I usually do, just to see how they're doing. And also to like, my mom will send me a Facebook post and be like, is this true? And I'm like, no, that is not true. That is a lie. That is not a thing that you should worry about. And just kind of like being a fact checker for them has been kind of draining. But yeah, that's definitely the stress from that is happening. Though I have a huge list of things that I want to play and watch now that I have 2 weeks.
Yeah. Terms like Owen's been playing Mario Odyssey. We quote unquote beat that game. He picked up a lot of the moons, and I felt like I played Mario Odyssey boss rush because every time I would play that game would be because he couldn't beat a boss. So I was always fighting the bosses, and then the little bugger deleted the file.
Oh.
Somehow he figured out how to delete the file. There was like 160 power moons on there, and he deleted them.
Time to do it all over again.
Yeah, I'm pretty annoyed. he has Paw Patrol and he won't play it. Like, I don't know. He just really likes playing Mario Odyssey right now. He's actually gotten pretty good at it. He struggles with some of the platforming stuff, but for a 4.5-year-old, I've actually been pretty impressed. I think he's actually ended up beating one or two bosses on his own lately now. So he still struggles with some of the stuff, but he's, you know, been doing pretty good. So I'm pretty happy. Still haven't docked the Switch yet. I keep talking about it, you know, because it's just how he plays it. So he hands it to me. Excuse me. And then I play it. But yep, that's for the most part. That's what I've been playing and watching. In terms of streaming, like Michael and I will communicate with each other in terms of what days we are or aren't going to do. For me, I would say expect some Division content. Still expect to see some Destiny stuff, just because like I'm having a good time playing that game. I am still looking for people, you know, people that are interested in playing it. If you need help with something, I'll help you. And especially, I'm finding myself playing more and more on PC because it just runs so much better on PC in terms of like load times and everything like that. I will still play on PS4. Like, I don't have any problem doing that. The PC seems to be fun. So I'm still looking for friends on Steam. So just my Steam ID is Good Dave Hunting. Please, like, if you're on Steam or on PC, like, that's, you know, we'll play some games, make some recommendations. I'm sure I have a bunch of Steam games that through the Epic Store, and I have Division on PC as well. So I would definitely love to play some of those games with you, but I just need you guys to tell me that you're on Steam. So I know that a lot of our listeners came from PlayStation, but I know that we've been kind of broadening our horizons a little bit. So if you're on Steam, please let me know.
Yeah.
So what about you?
So I've been in the process of setting up streaming from my bedroom. Sounds way worse when I say it out loud. So Sarah's still working from
with
home.
With a beanbag like, chair.
Yeah. She's working, from home 9 to 5, but she needs, my PC and my monitor set up. So I've been having to stream directly from SharePlay, which works well enough, though I'm kind of used to like the feature set of Streamlabs and all the luxury that comes from that. But I basically had to set up my bedroom TV with my PS4 and my hard drive, figure out a mic situation, which isn't that good just because I'm having a, you know, use just a headset, because when I plug in my Yeti mic, it wants me to plug my headphones through the Yeti mic, and I don't have the optimal setup. I'm basically right now, when you see me streaming, it's me in my Sumo Lounge beanbag chair with the camera pointed at a weird angle. I'll fix that eventually, but I've been just streaming. The current plan is I'm just going to stream random stuff, probably mornings and afternoons, just because I'm already playing games. I have a huge list of stuff that I want to play. I've just been looking at the old games that I've been wanting to dabble in. Like, I've been wanting to replay Resistance and Heavenly Sword, but it was really hard to justify putting time into those games when we have a podcast about current stuff and working a full 40 hours a week plus commute. So now that I have the time, I'm just like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. I might play Resistance one day. Just I won't be able to stream it, but because that would require me using my PC. But I'm playing a lot of random old games soon. My list for playing and watching next week should be extensive. Warning for Dave. He'll have to listen to all that.
Fine.
Yeah, so today I played Call of Duty Warzone with one of my friends. We streamed the entire session on Twitch, and I got my first win for Warzone on stream. First win ever for Warzone overall. I'm really enjoying it, not just because I won today, but today was definitely the first time, because I've played a handful of games before, that I got to see the pure chaos it can be once everyone has all their perks. Like, your killstreak perks, you basically, your killstreak stuff, you don't get it off a killstreak, but you collect enough currency on the map that you can buy basically your killstreak rewards, your perks, whatever you call them, and use those. And being able to, me and my friend, to coordinate like doing airstrikes in a battle royale game when the circle is at its smallest is really fun, and it's chaotic, and really having to strategize of just like, okay, all three of us died, but it was our first death, so all three of us are at the gulag. Hopefully all three of us can get out of the gulag, and then if one of us didn't get out, okay, who has enough currency to buy back that person into the game? That stuff is really, really cool. And the game we did win, I didn't even realize we were like the final group until the very end, when I look up in the right corner and I'm like, there's seven people in the game and we have a full squad of three right now. Holy shit, we might be able to win this. And then within a matter of a couple seconds, it went from like, we might be able to win this, to, oh shit, we won. And that was after like two airstrikes are going around everywhere. Me and my two other teammates are just on the top of a hill just trying to survive with all this chaos going around. It was really fun. And I'll probably end up playing a bunch of Warzone during this time off, just because my coworkers are also not going at work, because work is completely voluntary right now. So I could message any of them at any time and probably get a game of Warzone going. Me and Sarah did pick up Animal Crossing New Horizons. This is my first Animal Crossing games after years of watching it. It's super, super adorable. If you look at Twitter right now, it's either coronavirus or Animal Crossing, or at least that's how my Twitter feed is.
And Doom.
And Doom. Yeah, there's a little Doom in between there. I'm not fully enjoying Animal Crossing because of a decision Nintendo made, which I knew going into it, but I just didn't know how big of a ramification it was going to have. So you can only have one island per Switch.
Per Switch or per account?
Per Switch. So, knowing that, I told Sarah, like, hey, make your island, because you're going to play it way more than me. And when I load my profile, the only option is to go to Sarah's island. I can have a tent on her island and do my activities that I need to do on her island, but it's still her island. So things you do in Animal Crossing are just like, hey, collect bugs so we can build a museum. clean up all the weeds that are in the island and like maintenance stuff. Sarah did all that during the day. She already built the museum. She already did all the maintenance stuff. So then when I went to go play it at night, there was nothing for me to do but fish and collect basic materials. So I lose out on a lot of different things, which isn't a big deal in general, because in our situation, I knew going into Animal Crossing, I was only going to play it maybe once every couple days, as opposed to her playing it every day, but it's still a bummer.
It's a weird choice. Like, it, mm-hmm. And it's a Nintendo thing. Like,
they have an integrity that they set for Animal Crossing, and sometimes they go a little too hard with it. I'm hoping this is something that they'll realize. They need to give people the option, because what if someone doesn't want to share an island? What if you had, like, Dave, what if everyone in your family wanted to play Animal Crossing, and you had five profiles on your Switch, and they all just had to go off one island? That would suck.
Yeah, I mean, like, even the like, we're learning the online subscription, like, the family deal. Like, you almost have to have the family plan just to have multiple profiles. Like, mm-hmm. it just doesn't make any sense. Like, in 2020, like, I can have two completely separate PS4s in different states. And there's a system that you can set up that I can only have, and I can use one PS Plus subscription, but on one Switch, I can't have somebody else go online unless they're on my account. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah, you have to get the family plan, which I had with Sarah. So you can get the Animal Crossing app, which is built into the Nintendo Online app, and I pay for Nintendo Online, Sarah doesn't. All Sarah wanted to do was scan some QR codes so she can get those items. Yeah, exactly. It's just so she can get those items into her game. She had to sign up for a Nintendo Online account and then do a week trial just so she can scan some QR codes, which is just like, Nintendo, what are you doing? And luckily, my Nintendo subscription expires at the end of the month, so I'll just bump my plan up to the family plan. But it's still like, it should work like PlayStation or Xbox, where the main account is the only account that needs a subscription.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's
but
really
also it also sounds like some of the stuff I've seen about Animal Crossing. I'm sorry, okay. I don't know why I just totally lost that. But there are some catastrophic decisions you can make in this game that could cause you some long-term problems, mm-hmm. and not having the ability to maybe have like two concurrent saves going on in separate things, like, of like, a lot of times those people, like, they'll want to kind of start over or maybe have two different things going on so they can try out different things to figure it out. Like, this doesn't sound like that's an option. I have no desire to play this game, but
this is my worry is, what if I think Sarah's happy with her island, but what if she's just like, you know what, I really should have went with the other island choice. If she resets that, then I'm kind of shit out of luck. It's just like, oh, I was cool with that island choice, you know, mm-hmm. like, because there's only one island, it really restricts what you can do. So far, it's been fine, just because I know I'm not going to play Animal Crossing that much, but it's weird that that's restricted. And my fear is Nintendo is going to be like, you can get a second island for $5. You know,
and I know you're talking about you're playing it. You could see yourself maybe playing it for like a month, maybe like 6 weeks. Like, how mm-hmm. long is Sarah gonna play this for?
Probably every day for the next like couple years.
Okay,
because that's what people with Animal Crossing do. They play it because there's specific holiday events, and it uses a real time clock. So Sarah's gonna want to see what the Christmas stuff's gonna be. So she will play this game until Christmas or whatever.
Yeah,
see that content.
It's always interesting in the way that they have some stuff that's always cool, like, and how they're evolving things, and like, that's a really interesting choice that Nintendo made, and then it's like, that's not a good choice, and there's really no in between.
Yeah, I will say the game is adorable. It's got all the charm that has been hyped up to me about Animal Crossing, so I do like playing it. It's just their fundamental structure that they built around the island system is just kind of frustrating. It is kind of funny seeing my Nintendo friend list. all playing Animal Crossing. Like, every single one of them, if I go to my friend list. It's like, I remember on, you know, the PS4, when a exclusive would come out, your friend list would turn all into that exclusive, and that's exactly how my Nintendo friend list, which is only 20 people, granted, but 16 of them are online at one time. They're all playing Animal Crossing. And I could visit their islands, which is fine. But because I'm a secondary account now, it's weird. So I just feel like I'm always visiting someone's island. Like, I don't have an island of my own. Which, again, is fine because I didn't plan to play the game that crazy. Mm-hmm. Or, like, that dedicated to it. So in the end, the grand scheme of things is not the worst thing to happen. But what if I really got into it? You know, what if I really wanted to? Then I would have to buy a second Switch, and that's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But that is it for playing right now. I have dabbled with Tetris Online, like always. Overwatch 2, because they announced a new character, but that's nothing too deep to talk about. Watching. watched 28 Days Later earlier. You know, virus stuff. Survivors, which is a British show from like 2008 about a virus wiping out society. I was watching that.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I don't
it's
know.
It's bad enough for me that Hobbs and Shaw was about a virus injected into somebody. But like,
Survivors is really good. It's not a zombie or anything. It's just like a virus wipes out most of humanity. And then... I don't know. It's just themes. I finished the fourth Harry Potter book, Goblet of Fire, which is now my favorite Harry Potter book. I also watched Goblet of Fire, the movie, and that is my least favorite Harry Potter movie. And it's just weird how that works. It's Goblet of Fire has so much stuff going on, and then the movie cut so much out. Like, I was watching it with Sarah, who's, you know, read the book, seen the movies, and I'm just like, wait, why are they already at the scene? The scene didn't happen until like 12 chapters in, and we're 2 minutes into the movie. What the hell is going on? And just seeing how they cut and change things around was just kind of aggravating. Gonna start in the fifth book now, so we'll probably have an update. It's just as long, so I'll probably update on when I finish that in couple weeks, because I'm only doing like a chapter a night, sometimes two chapters if it was a good cliffhanger.
Oh no, you got to finish this book by next week. You got all the time in the world now, bud.
I can't. It's funny, I notice I can't binge read, and I can't really binge watch stuff as well.
Yeah,
I just never have worked that way with reading. And then I notice as I get older, I don't really binge watch TV shows either. But that is about it for me. Next week will probably be crazy because we have a lot of time.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to jump into our questions. You can send us questions on Twitter at Digital Days Pod, Facebook, facebook.com/Digital Days Gaming, or you can search the Digital Days Gaming group. Please join that. There's a bunch of conversations happening in there. It's been a little quiet in there this week, but for the most part, there's always some really cool conversations happening in there. We could always use some new members, so please don't be shy. Yes, that person that's not in there. Like, I helped Kyle, like, last week. I forgot I played Far Cry New Dawn for, like, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
I helped him on some expeditions and got him his trophy that he wanted. So
yeah. The work from home thread was interesting to see. I think almost everyone in that group, most of our group, popped up in that just to talk about, like, what they're doing right now in the situations.
My backwards compatibility thread. That was fun. Yeah. at Jehonia sends us a question on Twitter using hashtag AskDigitalDays. Now that the specs for both Xbox and PS5 are out, which one are you more excited about? What do all these specs mean to you? I think we kind of beat this dead horse, but for me, my game is going to load faster, and I don't know if I want either of them at the moment.
Okay. For me, it might sound fanboyish, but it's PS5, just because I have a PC that will run the Xbox exclusives. So I'm more excited about the PS5 than I am the Xbox in terms of which one I will buy day one, despite all the issues. I'm still leaning more PlayStation than Xbox, just because I know the exclusives are going to be something I will need a PlayStation for. And like Dave, the SSD, SSD for both systems. I've been wanting everything that the SSDs are offering for many, many years.
All right, you want to take the next question?
Yeah, Branham asked us, this was a reply just because I put a GIF of Mark Burley, and he replied saying, name one stadium, referring to baseball stadiums, I'm assuming, do you really want to visit? Dave, is there a baseball stadium, if we're ever allowed to go to baseball stadiums ever again, would you want to visit?
It's very, very close between Wrigley and Fenway.
I will, Fenway for me as well. Yeah.
Mostly because I want to go to those. I know I can, but I mean, mostly because I want to go to, I'm more worried about Fenway than I am about Wrigley at this point, but like one of them is going to close soon.
I don't think Wrigley's had any falling concrete for a couple of years, so Wrigley might be fine.
Well, they just pumped a whole bunch of money into like the outfield and everything like that too, right? Like the So Fenway hasn't had a huge, huge upgrade since they put seats above the Green Mountain, the Green Monster. But
yeah, I think they got rid of all the troughs and put urinals in about 10 years ago. So Wrigley is getting updates.
Well, that doesn't bother me because I've been to Michigan's Big House, which was just like wall-to-wall troughs in their bathrooms that hold 110,000 people.
First time I went to Wrigley as a kid and I saw a trough, so I walked right out. I'm just like, no, because it was real bad in there. Wrigley, Cub fans get drunk, so it was real bad. But yeah, Fenway is for me. I do want to see Dodger Stadium, even though I know it's Dodger Stadium's relatively new when you talk about Fenway and...
Yeah, but I also realized that...
Or not Fenway, when you talk about, like, Yankee Stadium or New Yankee Stadium and stuff.
But I also realized when we went to, like, Grand Central Station or whatever, when we were in L.A., we went out to dinner with Wyatt and stuff, I realized that getting to Dodger Stadium is not as much of a challenge as people made it sound like it is.
No, it sounds super easy.
It's for you and I, Anaheim. Like, that's fine.
It was like, you have to ride the train. It's like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I was like, we were trying to find somewhere to eat. I'm like, Dodger Stadium's that way. Like,
yeah, we get some Dodger dogs and catch a game.
I was like, there's a game right now that we could walk up to. I was like, on Twitter, Ali Sean, at Ali Sean, Shan, using hashtag Ask Digital Days, MJC, Friday Night SmackDown, your thoughts on having no audience that night and the possibility of WrestleMania being canceled. My understanding now is that WrestleMania is on, but it's going to be in their studio, right?
Yeah, so they've been doing a studio show for the last 2 weeks, which have been weird. They've been filling them with a lot of highlights of old matches, which has been, if you watch wrestling often, it's kind of a waste of time. Though it's funny, ESPN's starting to replay WrestleManias because ESPN is desperate for content right now.
Like locally, the Tigers, like that have been terrible. So Fox Sports Detroit has a Tigers contract. I saw something on Facebook. They're like, hey, we know you guys are stuck at home. We're going to air the baseball games for the 2019 season. That team lost 100 games that year. Like there's so many other things you could show like from 2005 to 2012. Any one of those seasons, not the 100 loss team.
There's a World Series win in there somewhere, right? Like,
it's just bad.
It's weird watching the wrestlers work with no audiences. It's been fascinating, but don't know if I can watch many more shows. So WrestleMania now is two nights. They are going to do two full nights of WrestleMania, which is scary because WrestleMania is usually a 6-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll do 3 hours and 3 hours. Gronk is hosting it for some god-awful reason. Oh my god, they are so lucky there are no fans, because the fans would have booed Gronk out of the building with how he acts.
I think I saw that like the WWE network is free right now too, right? Because of COVID.
They always do a free trial, so I think they might just be pushing their monthly free trial right now just to get people into it. WrestleMania is gonna be two nights, and it sounds like they're already recorded WrestleMania because they don't have an obligation now to do it live, and hopefully they also don't know if they're going to be allowed to do matches in a week or two, so they're just pre-recording WrestleMania as often as they can get talent into the undisclosed location. Sounds like they also are doing it in a different arena possibly than their studio or their performance center, which gives me hope if that is the case, that they are going to do some cool stuff with having no audience. You can do creative things. They can shoot this very cinematic if they want. They could maybe pull off some, like,
Bleacher final... Brawl.
They could do some cool things with it. Because, I don't know, seeing The Undertaker as a 55-year-old man walking around doesn't sound interesting unless there's a crowd with him.
Yeah, so it's a concern. Like, I mean, I watch wrestling like in high school and junior high, and I still respect what it is, but I feel like 75% of what it is pure raw reaction of like something interesting happening or somebody coming out to help somebody or, you know, or somebody unexpectedly showing up for something. And a huge chunk of that is, yes, it's well-written content, like creative writing, but it's also just the reaction of the fans, like, holy crap, I can't believe that's so-and-so or so-and-so is helping them, you know.
All the biggest moments, that crowd reaction, super, super important. So WWE needs to do really creative things, though it sucks to put that pressure on them right now, because it's the unknown, and they only have 2 weeks to figure it out, because it's like April 5th, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic. Though their no audience shows have been terrible compared to AEW's no audience shows. AEW's been putting on some really... they only put on one or two. But it's been really fun watching AEW handle it. They basically just put the wrestlers in a crowd. So you just hear the wrestlers like that aren't wrestling just like screaming and shouting. They're doing like side bets. So you're seeing them like gamble on the sides. They're having fun things that they're doing with this. Though even they've had to make some changes. They were going to have a 10-person steel cage match on Wednesday, and they had to cancel it because...
It's a violation of a group setting.
Yes, it's a violation of a group setting. And it was called Blood and Guts. So they're just like, we're going to change it and not do that because the referee would make 11. Then we'd be violating the law.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's funny, though, because I was going to like tell Dave before all this happened, like, hey, we're probably going to miss recording on a Sunday because of WrestleMania, but now that it's two nights in front of nobody, it's like, I could probably miss that. We'll have to see.
Yeah, see how it goes. I think we'll have time to record on any day we want.
Yeah.
Stefan from Facebook writes, I have a couple of questions. Who finds it hard to work at home as your PS4 is sitting right in front of you? I have had a cheeky few hours on the PS4 during work time. I don't have the option to work from home, but I do find it hard sometimes. Like, I'm very fortunate that my wife edits the show. I have to, you know, cause I could find myself easily being distracted by something. Even sometimes with like the multiple monitors I've had set up here, when I've like guested on other podcasts, I find myself sometimes playing games while I'm doing that. So in terms of like easily being distracted by things, I need to, like, now I'm looking at like multiple monitors in front of me, and I have like the Google Doc pulled up, and I have a, you know, a full screen of Michael so you guys can see him, and then I have OBS and Audacity running, so like my screens are taken up. But yes, I can find myself very easily distracted, so I think that if I ever had a job of where I could work from home, that could be a problem. And speaking to some people that I know that do work from home, and then I'll see them online sometimes and I'll send them a message. They're like, no, I'm just kind of like playing a game while I'm like waiting for something to download, or I'm waiting for a call to start. Like, and that's kind of how they function. So yes, I could definitely see that as a challenge.
And then a second question, how many people find playing video games even more escapism right now and use it to relax in the evening to get away from all the horrible news?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been definitely playing video games a little bit more for escapism, which is why I think last week I got deeper into Overwatch, because I was just like, keeps me off Twitter, and Twitter sucks right now.
Yeah, it's like Overwatch is like your comfortable shirt, and Destiny is like my comfortable shoes. Like, you just, you know, you come home and you put them on. You, everybody has that T-shirt that they want to wear, or you know, you had a rough day at work and you just want to like put your, you know. Like, some people have that blanket, like they grab their blanket and their book or whatever, and like that's what this is for us. is our video games are definitely a comfort setting, and we find yourself defaulting to a game that maybe doesn't require as much thought, or you know, doesn't, you know, as much thinking or brain power or processing. Like, I have Zelda Breath of the Wild, but I don't know if I want to go into a temple right now and really rack my brain for 5, 10, 20 minutes just to figure something out. Like, I don't have the headspace for that. I find myself getting distracted, and then my mind wanders into other things. So
yeah, my escapism has been sleep. It's been a lot of sleep when I can.
I wish, man. I wish. Yeah.
But the sleep might be depression. No, it's probably not. It's probably fine. It's just, sleeping has been really good right now for me. Especially I get to sleep in again, which has been very nice.
Mine's to fix my sleep schedule might be alcohol induced soon.
that sounds like depression.
I don't drink much. Yeah. You know that I don't drink much. So
yeah. You're like the babysit a beer type. I'm also like that as well. I barely ever drink. I don't know. I have found myself where I'm running into the, now that I have all the time in the world, that even though it's only been like, today's my first official day, but I also had 2 days off in a row before Sunday, which was the last official day I worked. And even in those 2 days, I'm like, I have all the time in the world. What should I do? And then I just kind of get crippled by choice in terms of like, do I really want to start that? Do I want to start that? And then I end up not playing anything. I just watch YouTube videos.
Yeah.
which is a problem. But I think I have a game plan now. So I'm going to try and execute on that game plan to just play a bunch of stuff that I've been wanting to play. I might even subscribe to PS Now just because I looked at it.
I really want to play Warzone with you. Like, mm-hmm. I do want to play that. I want to check that out. And then we're going to move right into the spotlight that I'm going to think. I'm not sure if you realize this is happening, but Bleeding Edge comes out this week.
Yes, I was actually going to interrupt you earlier when you were talking about, like, Xbox. Of this, yeah. Bleeding Edge is out this week.
Yeah, so I think maybe that you and I should do some stuff that, since we know we both will be home for large increments of time. Like, I would love to play Bleeding Edge with you. I would love to play Warzone, and we can stream that stuff, and we can have really cool banter and cool chats, and you guys can be, you know, Michael can stream, or I can stream. Like, I have access to, you know, the ability to broadcast the audio and adjust it because I'm in front of my PC. My wife is starting to use my wife and son have started to use my office area for schoolwork and online tutoring. They need to get out of my office. But it's only in small increments of time. But yes, we would like, there are some stuff that we want to do. So if you guys see us online, like, we'll have, you know, either a party going or join our Discord. I'll actually be able to get Michael in Discord so we can actually talk, especially if we're on PC. But the PC might have to be in the evening.
It
means that I can be on PS4 with him, or I can have him just be on Discord on his phone if I'm playing on, because like, somebody told me that Warzone is pretty taxing on a PC, even a high-end PC, so I probably will just play it on PlayStation. That was kind of be my spotlight. I've seen a lot of advertisements for Bleeding Edge. It's part of Game Pass, so I'm definitely going to download it and check it out. So please just, you know, go ahead and follow us on social media. Follow Michael at FirstMJC. Follow myself at GoodDaveHunt. Follow the main account at DigitalDaysPod. So those are the three ways that you can see us. Like, anytime we go live on Twitch, you'll see that on Twitter. You can also follow, just like the page on Facebook. Just search Digital Days Gaming. And then while you're there, you can also, you should get the page that you can like, and you can just join the Facebook group like we mentioned earlier. You can send us the questions using hashtag AskDigitalDays. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have a Patreon. It would be really cool if you guys decide to support us. I know that, you know, everybody's, you know, finances are in massive flux right now. So if you can't, like, that's fine. Whatever you're going to do, you just hanging out in the Twitch chat, saying hi, talking to us, telling us about what you're doing during your quarantine, or just having a conversation with us makes our streams much more fun, much more interactive. So please don't be shy. Follow the channel. Jump in there. Say hi. Talk to us.
Share the show. Most applications you subscribe to on podcasts, there's usually a share button somewhere that you can let everyone know you're listening to our show, and that's very helpful.
Yeah, Facebook will, you know, and don't think that just because, you know, you're like, most of the people on your list aren't gaming, you know, maybe it'll show them, or maybe they're going to try something different because they're looking at something to just to have as background noise, and maybe they'll become a fan. Maybe they'll think Michael's like really intuitive about certain things sometimes. So, but yeah, I mean, like we said, like we've got some time now, but our plan is to continue to produce the content for you guys on a regular basis. We've seen a lot of you guys say that this is something that you look forward to on Thursdays or on Wednesdays, whatever it is. And as of now, unless anything crazy happens, our schedule won't change. Our goal is to produce consistent weekly content as much as possible and to stream when we can. So as for now, I don't see any of that changing, but please, everyone, just flatten the curve, help, stay home if you can, check on your neighbors, check on your relatives, help out any way that you are able to. But at this point in time, it's just about not spreading this virus anymore. So please do your part. Please be safe. Wash your hands. Get online with us. Have some fun. If you're online playing a video game with me, at least I know you're home. But you got anything else, Michael? Or
no, the social distancing, self-quarantining is super important right now. If you and your friends all think you're all healthy and you're fine, doesn't mean you guys can have a group party or anything like that. Just stay home. This will be over sooner if more people just stay home. This is like the one situation that you're a hero if you stay home. So just do that. It's really easy. Just don't go out unless you have to.
So, all right, everyone. Keep moving forward. Have a great week. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.